Now listen to these ideas that come that describe Jesus the high priest. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. Characteristic number one of a great high priest, what does he do? He sympathizes with us. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. How do we function as priests? The first idea is that we have a Christ-like and cross-filled calling. We have a Christ-like and a cross-filled calling. So let me say this to you today as priests who are learning that identity. The way that we serve as priests is in the same way that Jesus has served us as the great high priest. Amen for that? We are to function to others in the way that Christ continues to function to us. And in this passage, there are five descriptions of what Jesus does as a high priest. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. Not only does he celebrate our strength, but a great high priest does not just celebrate the strengths. He sympathizes. He enters in to the conflict of our souls. How about that? If your idea of God is that he's a divine policeman with a black and white referee uniform around his neck, with a whistle that is constantly calling out violations, all right, the Holy Spirit will reveal the areas of our life that are out of line. But God the Father and his great son Jesus is a savior that is drawn, a priest that is drawn to our weaknesses. And he attaches himself to our weaknesses, and that's where he sets up his deepest work, is in our weaknesses. Praise God for that. So as the high priest, he sympathizes. As a high priest, he knows what it's like to be tempted. Number three, we can approach him with confidence. We can approach him with confidence. Why? Because he's not going to slam us. We're going to approach him with confidence. Why? Because we will receive grace and mercy. He bestows us with grace and mercy. Romans says what? Romans says that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not the law that leads us to repentance. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. And then lastly, what does it say? He helps us in our time of need. Wow. What a high priest. Let me ask you this question. Are you drawn to a priest like that? With those non-Christians that said those six things about us as Christians, do you think they would be attracted to a high priest like that? Do you think a non-Christian would be attracted to a savior that sympathizes with them? Absolutely. Do you think a non-Christian would be drawn to a savior that has been tempted the way they are? Absolutely. Do you think a non-believer would desire to approach in their weakness and in their failings a God that would approach them with grace and mercy? Absolutely. Do you think one of those that does not know the Lord would be drawn to a savior and a priest that meets him at their highest point of need? Absolutely. That's what Jesus does for us is our great high priest. And church, I hope today that you know that personally. These last 6 months, God, it's just been reminding me of what a great high priest that we have. And he's been reminded me of the great high priest that we have because a lot of my weaknesses of sins have come alive in the context of relationship. Around our country, these last 6 months have been difficult on people. Alcohol's on the increase. Drugs are on the increase. Pornography's on the increase. Domestic violence is on the increase. Divorce is on the increase. Sex outside of marriage is on the increase. Everything's on the increase. It's on the increase. It's on the increase. We have a calling of priests to minister to the needs of people. Amen for that. Amen for that. And the thing that will get us out of our lethargy, the thing that will get us out of our lack of confidence, is to be reminded of what Jesus has done for us as our great high priest. Jesus has ministered and continues to minister to us, not just in our victories, but in our defeats. Not just when we are strong, but when we are weak. Not just when we are at our best, but when we are at our lowest. And that's the high priest that we have. Can you say amen to that today? Amen for that. The second idea of what it means to be a priest is this idea of compassionate curiosity. Compassionate curiosity. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Christ-like and cross-field calling. And now secondly, compassionate curiosity. Compassion is a word that means to suffer with. To suffer with. I live in the Woodlands. I live about less than a mile from here. My wife and daughter walked here this morning to get here. This is part of our bike track that we travel around. And in the Woodlands, we're kind of a well-dressed community. You wear nice slacks and a shirt, or you're casually cool, all right, whatever your style is. But in the Woodlands, we put emphasis upon the externals. And it's very difficult sometimes to see the point that every single one of us has a pain point inside of us. Every single person that you encounter, including yourself, has a pain point. And what we mean by that is that there is pain in our life that is caused by what? It's caused by sin. And sin is a beast that continues to go after all of us, and all of us have areas of our life that have pain inside of us. And if God is going to use this church and the body of the church at large to reach people, we're going to have to develop a compassionate curiosity to where people are coming from. We're going to have to develop a sensitivity that everybody that we encounter has a pain point in their life. Men, most of us do not have a language of talking about pain. We can talk about deer. We can talk about our accomplishments. We can talk about our victories. Most guys cannot talk about their failures. Why? Because we're achievement-oriented. And if we talk about our failures, what? It's not talking about our achievements, so it's just in this spiral. But I'll tell you this, every man has those issues, and every man wants to get out of that. And so as priests, there is this characteristic of compassionate curiosity. Let me give you three reasons that a priest has compassionate curiosity. Number one, because of our own pain in our life. Our own pain in our life. Number two, a priest is aware of the weight that other people carry in their life. As a priest who's encountering other people, and as I begin to hear their story, a priest begins to take on the weight of another person's journey in that. And number three, what's so powerful about priests is that we know the power of what it looks like for Jesus Christ to forgive us in those areas. That's what draws priests into the engagement of that. And the last idea that I want to leave you with today is this idea of courageous conversations. Courageous conversations. I'm a biblical preacher, and as you can tell, I enjoy communication. I love it. I love communicating. I love teaching. I love preaching. I love any form that uses my mouth to communicate information. Let me give you great hope. A lot of you don't like that. And because you don't like that, you've always felt like you've been excluded from being used by God. Let me just tell you this. Some of the greatest priests on the planet are not the ones that are in control of the information. Some of the greatest priests on the planet are those that instead of giving people information, they ask questions. If you look at the life of Jesus Christ, Jesus was a good preacher, but he was also a phenomenal priest. And the way that he showed his priesthood was that he asked questions to people that opened up their hearts. He asked questions to them, and as he asked those questions, questions come with answers. I think of John chapter 4. Do you remember that passage? The woman at the well? Jesus has this reason to go to Samaria, and he goes to Samaria, and he places himself right in front of a well. And a lady comes at an inopportune time. She comes later in the day, and he asks her one question. Can you give me some water? And out of that one question, within 10 or 15 minutes of conversation, this woman is pouring out her life, including her sexuality, within one question. The man that you are living with right now is not your husband, and you've been married previously. And here she is, based upon Jesus asking what? One question. Is that not phenomenal? Contagious conversations that get to people's heart. I want to leave you with a practical idea that my wife came up with. I'd like to give her credit on this because she is a phenomenal question asker. If you're with her, you will walk away from a conversation with her realizing that you're the one that spoke the most. Because all she did was just kind of ask questions and listened and entered into your story. We call this LIP, L-I-P. The L stands for ask a life question. Remember, we want to go after the heart. Corona has given us 6 months of people to be in their stuff. And so you ask the question, hey, how's the last 6 months been? What's been the impact of Corona? How's your family doing? What are the biggest challenges that you have? All you have to do now is ask that one question and people are going to give you a big response to that. So you ask an L question, you ask the life question. And as you ask the life question, you listen with your heart, you listen with your eyes because you want to see body language. And then you also listen with your ears. For ears, you hear tone. With your eyes, you see body language, and with your heart, you feel that. Oh, man, it's been terrible. I mean, there's been some good times. I've enjoyed family, but, man, my wife and I, we have clashed in ways that we've never clashed before. My children, I just, you know, I'm officing at the house. You know, all these stuff that people are going to say to you when you ask that question, and you as a priest, you're sitting there, what? You're engaged with that. You're listening to that. You're feeling that. And you can feel that. Why? Because you feel some of the same stuff and you're entering into that. Then the second question is the inspired word question. When you're talking to another believer, all right, you can ask a question like this. What has God been saying to you during this? Hey, I hear you on that. Man, it sounds really painful. Let me ask you, what's God been teaching you in the midst of all this? And if you're talking to a lot of Christians at this, they'll go silent. It's almost as if, what do you mean is God teaching me in this? Our only prayer is that God get us out of this. What has God been teaching you? Is there any passage of scripture that has been really good? Tell me about that. If you're talking to somebody that doesn't know the Lord, you can say something like this. What piece of advice has been really comforting you during this time? They might come back with and say, what do you mean, what piece of advice? Well, then at that point, you can say, well, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, and I've been reading the Bible, and the Bible has been speaking to me in such profound ways. You've heard of Jesus, and Jesus says this, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I've been finding rest in places that I never thought I would find rest before. See, that's powerful, powerful language. It's something that the president of our country cannot give other people. It's something that we as priests can give to enter into that story. And then the third thing is what? The third aspect is, how can I pray for you? LIP, ask a life question, ask an inspired word question, and then thirdly, ask a P question, a prayer question. How can I pray for you? I was walking down, we live over here, and so you know in the Woodlands, our mailboxes are not at the house. We have the community mailbox. And so I was walking down to the community mailbox, and there's a great guy that lives in my cul-de-sac. I say he's a great guy, but I don't even know his name. I know that he's from Greece. He has a rugby background. He's got a good personality. He works for Continental Airlines. And so I really like him. Let me say this. He used to work for Continental Airlines. And so as we were going down to the mailbox, I struck up a conversation with him and just said, hey, man, how you doing? And so he began to tell me I've got laid off. And I knew that he had been laid off temporarily. But since that conversation, he's been let go. And so he's looking for a new job. And he's a guy with a lot of words. So I was listening to him, and he was telling me about his options and talking about all that kind of stuff. And I know fairly certain that he's probably not a follower of Jesus. And at the end of that time, I said, hey, man, can I just pray for you? And it was like whiplash. I don't know if anybody's ever asked him before. He kind of lives a lifestyle that says, please don't pray for me. And I said, can I pray for you? And he kind of went, yeah. You can pray for me. So I prayed for him. I'm not sure. I typically touch, especially with guys, I typically touch guys because guys aren't used to touching. But probably with Corona, I probably didn't touch him physically. I touched him spiritually. Last week, I went back to get Mel, and I saw him again. And he said, hey, I got to tell you, I got my job. and you prayed for that. And I want to thank you for praying for me during that time. A guy that I don't think knows the Lord said, thank you for praying for me and being sensitive to my situation. Amen. We are priests. We are priests. We have the cross, and the cross can go to the lowest of our life, and we have the resurrection that can take us to the height. There's power in us as priests. Tomorrow, many of you are going to get in a car and leave and go to your office. Many of you might just go upstairs to your office, all right? But whether you drive or whether you go online, this coming week, God is distributing priests throughout this community. We're going to move into all sectors of society, but we're going as identities as priests. And God has opportunities for us this week. And I want to pray right now and close this in prayer. I want to pray along two lines. Number one, I want to pray that God would remind you of your identity. And what is our identity? Let's say it out loud. We are what? We are priests. What do priests do? Represent God to man and represent man to God. So I'm going to pray that we would be reminded, we would be reminded of our role as priests. And then I'm going to pray that God would help us to seize the opportunity to be compassionate, sincerely compassionate, curiously compassionate, and that we would also be what? We would also be contagious in our conversation, courageous and contagious. Let's pray. Father, hopefully today we have either learned or been reminded of some amazing truths. Is that God, we are people that have a profound identity in God. You have created us to enter in strategically with you to transform our world. God, you have called us priests. That's how you view us. God, I would imagine that most of us in here do not view ourselves as priests. For many of us, we identify ourselves with our job. I'm a business guy who happens to be a Christian. But in God's design, our primary identity is to be a priest and a follower of the God Most High. So God, I pray that we would be reminded of that. And God, I also thank you that this week you already have some opportunities for us, for each of us to engage as priests, to pray for people, to talk to people, to enter in. God, I ask for courage right now. God, there are some people in this room and are listening online that have never engaged another person in Christian conversation. God, I pray, Lord, that you would give them courage to ask questions. How are you doing? What is God saying to you? How can I pray for you? God, I pray that there would be a movement of missions in this body of believers this week as we trust you that, God, you are sufficient to do in us what you have promised to do in us. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.